Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you ever
gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia.
We started to burn many things we found, too many things, by God, including we also dug too much gold out of the ground, now pouring into Lake Mead, thanks to the Environmental Protection Agency, a horrible spill turning that beautiful river yellow and threatening the water supply for millions of people in Nevada. Folks, we gotta find a better way to do things. This is the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show with Harvey Wasserman. We're going to talk today about nuclear power in New England, especially the Pilgrim Nuclear Plant. I will be speaking in New England in the Boston area at a potluck Friday night. We're going to have Sheila Parks on. Sheila, are you with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, you are organizing with me a power dinner Friday night in the Boston area, and you are also a stalwart in the movement to shut the Pilgrim Nuclear Plant. We have two more stalwarts at least. Deb Katz. Deb, are you on with us yet?
I am on.
Great. And Diane Turco will be joining us, and hopefully Pixie Lambert, Mary Lambert as well. Mary or Pixie, are either one of you with us? Not yet. Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty here of shutting down the Pilgrim Nuclear Plant and talking a bit about our great victory at Vermont Yankee, Sheila, can you tell us the details for our potluck for all you folks in the Boston area?
Okay, so it's in Watertown, which is a small little town next to Boston. It's on the Cambridge Line. It's at 319 Arlington Street, which is a rehab school in the auditorium. It's accessible. There's plenty of parking. It's on the corner of Mount Auburn Street and Arlington Street, 319. Potluck is at 6 o'clock. Harvey's going to talk at 7:30. It's been sponsored and endorsed by a lot of really wonderful organizations, including the people that helped stop the Olympics coming to Boston, and Clean Water Action, and just many, many interesting organizations. A lot of MDs and registered nurses have endorsed this program who are against nuclear power in any sort or form, a doctor of veterinary medicine, and delicious vegetarian potluck at 6 o'clock.
All right, the question is, Sheila, is pot actually legal in Massachusetts?
I have no idea.
It's medically legal, Harvey.
What's that?
It's medically legal.
Right,
so
that is medically
legal. It's medically legal. So if this program has been endorsed by MDs, then you can probably come and get a prescription. So the potluck will be at 6 o'clock, August 14th, Friday, in Watertown. Thank you so much, Sheila.
In 3 days.
And thank you so much, Sheila, for organizing it. I'm looking forward to it. And the reason, of course, that we're meeting is to work to shut the Pilgrim Nuclear Plant. Before we talk about that, Sheila, I want to talk a bit to Deb Katz. Deb Katz has been a stalwart of the anti-nuclear movement since she was a teenager several years ago, and has now succeeded by God in shutting down the Vermont Yankee nuke. So, Deb, tell us what's going on currently at Vermont Yankee, and I assume the plant is still shut. Is that correct?
The plant is shut. It shut in January. It was a very long struggle. You know, Ken has been involved in shutting four nukes in New England, and in a certain way, Vermont Yankee was the longest struggle. But, in fact, the people were successful and shuttered the reactor. At this point, the issues are involved with cleanup and the fact that Entergy does not have enough money to clean the site up and, in fact, wants to use money in the decommissioning fund to pay its taxes in town because, you know, it's basically, it was a sinking ship, which is why it closed, and it was a sinking ship because CAN and other groups basically made it impossible to get the subsidies it needed to continue to operate.
Well, CAN now, just for everyone's understanding, CAN is the Citizens Awareness Network, and it's based in New England. Jeff Katz, our guest, has been a part of it, a leader in it, actually. And we are very, very happy that Vermont Yankee is shut. You mentioned that CAN has been involved in shutting four reactors in New England. Let's name them and celebrate. What are the four reactors?
There's Yankee Row, which is in Row, Massachusetts. There's Connecticut Yankee, which is in Haddam. There's Millstone, which is part of the Millstone complex, but Millstone 1 closed, and now Vermont Yankee, which is right over the border from Massachusetts in Vernon, Vermont.
Okay,
those
so
are
I'm
the four.
Correct.
And actually, New England Coalition was instrumental in closing Maine Yankee. So, in fact, the people have closed five of the nine reactors in New England, and there are four to go.
All right, so we're going to give you a quick quiz, a quick trick quiz here. Sheila, maybe you know the answer. You missed a reactor. Which reactor did you miss? It did not.
Which reactor is what?
You missed one of a reactor that we stopped. It didn't ever
open. Right, that's true. Yes.
Seabrook Unit 2.
Yes,
which,
that's true.
Which several $100 million was spent by the geniuses at the Pisco, a well-named utility in New Hampshire. And I love the fact that for many years they would show pictures of Seabrook, the Seabrook site. And when Seabrook 1 was finished, but Seabrook 2 was still under the construction, they airbrushed it to make it appear that Seabrook Unit 2 had been completed. And then, of course, they dismantled the damn thing, and it no longer even exists. I don't know, they have a big swimming pool where they dug a hole in the ground? Probably not, because it's next to a nuke. So so we got Seabrook Unit 2 shut, Maine Yankee shut, Connecticut Yankee, shut. Vermont Yankee, shut. Yankee Row, shut. What else did I miss?
Millstone, shut. Millstone Unit 1, shut. There's only Millstone Unit 2 and 3, Seabrook, the first one, and Pilgrim. And Pilgrim is a sinking ship.
Now.
What's that, Sheila?
I mean, that has his No More Fukushima's group fighting against, you know, Seabrook.
Yes,
right?
And unfortunately today, I believe today or this week, they are on schedule apparently to reopen one of the reactors in Japan at
yes.
Sendai, I believe. So that's
yes.
an unhappy note. Let's just say that we're succeeding greatly. Tell us now, this most recent shutdown at Vermont Yankee, Deb, you say that the owners, Entergy of Seabrook, of Vermont Yankee, there's a fund set aside with money in it to pay for the decommissioning of these reactors. But you're saying that they don't have enough money in the fund at Vermont Yankee, and they want to use what money is in the fund to pay their taxes?
That's right. Look, what's also important is the money that's in the fund is really not their money. It's ratepayer money. It's all the people who lived in New England who supposedly benefited from Vermont Yankee's operation that gave money through their electric bills to subsidize the cleanup of the nuke. And that money grew over time, and Entergy never put a dime into that fund, although recently the NRC made them put, I think it was either $40 million or $60 million in, but that fund is seriously underfunded, and it is supposed to be used only for radiological cleanup. Instead, what Entergy is doing is trying to use the fund to pay its taxes, use the fund to, in fact, set up storage for its high-level waste on site, because basically they don't have the money to do it. And the parent company, the Entergy parent company, is not forking over any money to subsidize the operation of one of its limited liability corporations. This is similar to Pilgrim, because these reactors were bought by the Southern Corporation. And when they were bought, the parent company, Entergy, said that if there were any shortfalls, they would come forward and help and subsidize. They did a line of credit for all of this. And now that Vermont Yankee needs money, and basically Pilgrim needs money because it's systemically mismanaged and they're not keeping up with what they're supposed to do, the parent company is not coming through with a dime.
God. What a ripoff.
Yes, it's a ripoff. And, of course, what people need to understand is Entergy, which owns both these plants, is not a utility. Like I was talking about, with a utility, you have a rate base, like you and me, who pay money for our electricity, and you can raise the price of electricity and bring in more money. But Entergy is what's called a merchant operator. And so these plants rise and fall on the open market. And at this point, the prices for energy are really depressed because of renewables coming in, because of the issue of gas being there, and they're not making money. And they have nobody to go back to except their parent company, who's not showing anyone the money at this point.
Sheila Parks, are we hearing similar stuff at the Pilgrim plant?
You know, I really don't know, Javier. I don't get into it because I look at it as a moral issue, and I said so way before the Pope said so. And whatever any of these corrupt immorals of Entergy and their parent companies and et cetera say, it doesn't matter because the plants have to be closed down now. And whatever it takes, we the people to do, we have to do it. It's, you know, we can't just keep on talking about people are dying of cancer. For me, the chase is that people are dying of cancer nonstop. And it's not from the genes, and it's not from the gazillion-dollar cancer industry medical stuff. It's from the environment, and a lot of that is radiation that's leaking 24/7 from every single nuclear power plant in the world.
Well, I'll go on with that now. And we have seen, actually, I believe Pilgrim was the first, or certainly among the first American reactors, where we had a very suggestive, if not definitive, medical evidence showing people in the area were harmed by radiation.
There have been three Massachusetts health studies. One was done at Pilgrim, which found statistical significance in cancer for the people living in proximity to the nuke. Another was done at...
Let me just say, Jeff, Nantucket County and Plymouth County have the highest cancer rate in the whole state of Massachusetts. Those are right, you know, around Pilgrim, yeah.
Nuclear metals, which was in the business of depleted uranium, had statistical significance in cancer. And the nuke out where I am, Yankee Row, in fact, had an epidemic of disease in terms of increases in cancer, Down syndrome, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple myeloma, children with brain abnormalities, all sorts of issues. So
you know,
Massachusetts, in fact, is the only state to have done health studies on the issues of exposure to radiation.
And Helen
talked
about it. She did it in an interview with you when you asked her what would go if Diablo nuclear power plant went. But from what Deb, and see, I'll tell you what Helen said in a minute. I have a quote here from her. But from what Deb is saying, it doesn't need to go. They're all, you know, fetuses, if they survived a meltdown, would have lower normal than IQ because the developing brain is very sensitive to radiation. Children are 10 to 20 times more vulnerable to the carcinogenic effects. Little girls are twice as sensitive as little boys, and women are more sensitive than men. Fetuses are thousands of times more sensitive. And this is when it goes. But from what Deb is saying, it's not only when it goes, it's now. It's happening all the time.
It's the standard operation of nuclear reactors, because for them to operate, they release radioactivity into the environment, and the community around it is contaminated on a regular and routine basis, and it's completely legal.
Right. You know, we went around to every single office in the Mass Legislature with my cancer paper and talked to the aides in all of these offices. And when I started talking to them about, you know, child-bearing young men and women and how, you know, traumatic all of this was for them, and gave them some of these figures that I'm saying and that Deb is saying, including, you know, retardation and IQ development, they sat up and listened. I mean, they really heard it, and they got it.
Diane Turco, you're on the line with us as well?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, good. Diane?
Hi,
okay,
Diane.
So we are with Deb Katz, Sheila Parks, and Diane Turco, three of the most powerful organizers I've ever met. And we're talking very importantly now about the health impacts of the radiation from nuclear power plants. Massachusetts, all three of you are in Massachusetts. And there was a guy, I think he's still around, Dr. Richard Clapp,
yes.
UCLA, who was with the Massachusetts, I guess, Department of Health.
Yes.
Is he still with the state?
No, he started the John Snow Institute, and I think at this point Dick is retired. But
okay,
he left the state. He set up the Cancer Registry in Massachusetts.
He really,
and he's also worked against the BioBio lab, I know.
What's
you know,
that?
I want to go back to something, Javi, about the health. When Deb came down to the Cape to talk to some of us about what we could say and could not say, and Deb, you please chime in here. As far as I understand it, the Supreme Court has said that it is illegal for people like us, we the people, to mention health risks when we're talking about any of these nuclear power plants.
Well, that's in the proceedings of the nuclear
It's like saying women can't talk about the rape culture when we're talking about misogyny, or people of color can't talk about white supremacy when they're talking about the racism that is going on rampantly. I mean, it's like when they said that slavery was legal with Dred Scott.
Right. So let's do this here. Richard Clapp, to my knowledge, was the first state official in the United States to actually go out and study the health impacts of a commercial atomic reactor. And his findings were not pretty. And they date back all the way to the 1970s, as I recall.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes,
right.
Well, there were a number of, I mean, I think Dick really looked at the issues around nuclear power plants. There were other, scientists and epidemiologists who have looked at it. There was also, there have been other epidemiologists in England that have looked at the releases and the effects on health from Sellafield and other nuclear sites there. So there has been work done, but it has been ignored by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Right, and as Sheila pointed out, under the Atomic Energy Act of 1954, the public is not really, we could discuss it, but it will not be adjudicated by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission what those health effects might be. Now, I was just at the hearings at Diablo Canyon, about Diablo Canyon in San Luis Obispo on August 5th, and it appeared to me that the commission is going to make some kind of allowance for discussion of health impacts at Diablo Canyon. I'm going to have to clarify that. Do Diane or Deb or Sheila, do any of you know about that? No. Okay. So we have, but Sheila is right.
If I could just say a little about Dr. Clapp,
I think that
the closer you live to work to Pilgrim, the incidence of leukemia increased fourfold, and that was
fourfold.
Specifically around the Pilgrim nuclear reactor in Plymouth.
Yes.
But the NRC is still not taking that into account in terms of the licensing.
Well, one of the issues in this, and this is part of the struggle, is that the standards that the NRC sets to be able to justify health issues around nuclear reactors. The bar is set so high that it's well nigh impossible for communities to deal with this because the communities affected are small. They are not like what you find in most epidemiological studies because that's studying a broad scope of a population so that it's very hard even to have the tools to look at these communities and to find statistical significance in them is then very serious. The other part of this is that because the regulating of nuclear reactors is what's called a bifurcated process, which means that the NRC deals with all safety issues, which has to do with the issues of health as well, and the state can only deal with economic and environmental issues, it's split in such a way that citizens who might mm-hmm. have an impact on a state level are basically obstructed from being able to pressure their states to do anything on a health basis because that is in the purview of the NRC.
So, Deb, what is your response to that?
Well, it's tragic. It's
well, I know that.
Because
I mean,
there are many people who...
We can't let them just dictate to us that we can't talk about health.
Well, we can
talk about it,
but we can't necessarily have an effect. Cam did this health study. We worked on it 8 years with the Massachusetts Department of Health. We worked on it with Dick Clapp. We got Steve Wing involved, who's another epidemiologist, and it was acknowledged that there were all these health consequences, but in fact, in one sense, the study went nowhere, and it was a validation to the people in the community that they weren't crazy or that they smoked too much or ate too much bacon, but in fact, that radiation had affected them, but it didn't move anything to close the nuke.
Mm-hmm.
And this
That's
is
astounding.
One of the hardest things. We had to give up working on health studies to work on economics and systemic mismanagement. Because that closes nukes.
And
human sacrifice
living in
does not.
And the solar and the wind would help close the nukes.
Yes, as well.
Yeah,
that the development of that will close nukes.
And Elon Musk and his battery. And I mean, so there are things happening, and that's what we
yes.
have to talk about. Although I don't know how I can remain silent about the health. I just say put that out there.
I understand.
Can I add something, Javi? Look, the nuclear reactors create radioactive waste. I mean, plutonium-239 lasts 240,000 years, says Greenpeace, and then uranium-235 remains hazardous 7.113 billion years. What are we doing to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren into eternity? These are the things that we have to put before the public no matter what.
But
well,
one of the main culprits at nuclear reactors is tritium. It has a half-life, which means half of it disintegrates within 12 and a half years, but it has really been connected by scientists to cancer, to brain damage, to all sorts of issues. So you just look at what reactors are releasing on site, because they're not releasing a lot of plutonium, but they're releasing a lot of tritium.
And, Deb, how long does it last, like in the terms that I gave about uranium?
The tritium lasts,
the
major wallop is in 12 and a half years, but that has a profound effect.
Diane Turco, do you want to jump in on this?
And we know that tritium is leaking in Pilgrim.
Yes.
I mean, it's documented.
Well, all right, so let's systematically look at this. In 1980, I went into central Pennsylvania. There's only one other reporter I know of who did that, which was Anna Mayo of the Village Voice. No one was taking seriously the complaints of the people around Three Mile Island that their health had been damaged. Now, this was already several years after Richard Clapp started studying the health effects of Pilgrim. And nonetheless, I sat across kitchen tables from people in central Pennsylvania for the worst week of my life, and I heard utter dismay, depression, catastrophic problems, very, very clear. I saw the tumors, the last thing I wanted to do, but, you know, I saw the glaucomas, I saw the mutated animals in an area where the nuclear industry and all the corporate media said there wasn't enough radiation released to harm people. And I wrote up a what I thought was a reasonable article for Rolling Stone, which had sent me there as a reporter, and they wouldn't print it, for God's sake.
Oh, wow.
Because they said that they said, like everybody else, the mantra, which we still hear from the nuclear industry and the mainstream, the corporate media, that not enough radiation was released at Three Mile Island to harm people. So what I did, I was so pissed that I got three co-authors, the great Robert Alvarez, one of the great researchers of our generation, Norman Solomon, a terrific writer, and Eleanor Walters, and we researched other places where we knew radiation had been released, but the media was saying there were no health effects. This included the 250,000 GIs who were exposed downwind to the insane nuclear tests that were done in Nevada and in the South Pacific. It included the Rocky Flats plutonium facility. It included other nuclear reactors. It included the uranium mines in the West, where we've just had it in a gold mine, a horrific spill. It included the radium watchdial factories.
Yes.
And we wrote a book called Killing Our Own, which is free on the Internet. Anybody wants to Google Killing Our Own. It got us on some major media. In fact, I was on that at NBC. It was on NBC at the Today Show with Bryant Gumbel, who was basically a sports announcer. I'll never forget. We talked about basketball right up to the moment the cameras came on. And on this show, I asserted that radiation had killed people at Three Mile Island.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bryant Gumbel didn't know enough at the time to know this was a controversial assertion. But there was a two-page telegram sent to the president of NBC News by the nuclear industry after I said this. And they went completely nuts, and they still go completely nuts. If you assert that people were killed at Three Mile Island, they will go crazy. Now, what from you, wonderful activists, I'm hearing that there's ample evidence at Pilgrim and at Vermont Yankee and at Yankee Row and the other New England reactors that there have been health effects from the reactors there, and that they've been very substantially documented. Is that true?
Yes. Well, we have a health study that we've done in which the Massachusetts Department of Health acknowledged that there was statistical significance, but they would never draw the conclusion that it was absolutely from the exposure to the tritium in the river. I mean,
so what did
this
they
was
say
always
them?
The way
what their,
out for them.
Delusions about.
What's that, Sheila?
Well, I asked them, you know, if they wouldn't accept the evidence that we had. Sounds like the rigged voting elections. What did they say? What kind of delusions and lies did they make up instead?
Well, they just used scientific, you know, gibberish to be able to try to undermine the notion that they couldn't say it was conclusive. You know, I live in a valley where there are 7,000 people. We had 10 children born during a 10-year period with children with Down syndrome. Two of the mothers conceived the children in the same house near the river. These families, Down syndrome occurs 1 in 1,000 live births. The potential that you would find these kinds of statistics in this community is astounding. And not only did these families suffer from this with their children, one of the fathers died of brain cancer. Two mothers got breast cancer. Another had, you know, thyroid cancer. All of these issues came up, but because it didn't reach the level of true statistical significance, because one of the mothers gave birth in Brattleboro rather than in Greenfield, she wasn't counted as part of the statistics. And so they found all these ways to attempt to undermine what they actually found, to be able to say they couldn't make a full conclusion about it. Now, Dick Clapp didn't go along with it, and he said it was really clear that we had had an epidemic of disease. But this is what the collusion that goes on between industry and, in fact, states, as well as the federal government, to not take responsibility for engaging in a kind of human sacrifice to allow corporations to continue to pollute.
You know, Deb and Javi, thank you for giving those specific figures. And for me, those are the things that we have to put out everywhere. Thank you, both of you.
And I have to say now that at Fukushima, we're running into the same situation. We know that massive quantities of iodine-131 were released during the Fukushima disasters. In every nuclear disaster, iodine-131 comes out. And iodine-131 goes straight to the thyroid. It mimics regular iodine, but it's a beta emitter. It emits electrons. And in a small gland like the thyroid, it will do damage, especially. It will also cross the placenta. So it goes into the thyroid of the fetus, and especially in the small thyroids of the embryo of the fetus and of small children, infants and smaller children, the percentage of cells that are destroyed by the iodine-131 is remarkably higher. And so we are already seeing, much to the denial of the nuclear industry, of a heightened rate of thyroid cancer and other thyroid problems among children being raised and born around Fukushima.
Well, it's not only there, it's the West Coast. Look, 300 tons of radiated water have been flowing into the Pacific, and it's not the Pacific. If anybody looks at a map, there's only one ocean, or you can call it 83,000 gallons a day. That's pouring into the ocean. And if you're on the Internet, you can see every day about all the animals, the whales, the dolphins, the fish are dying or beaching themselves all over the West Coast of this country.
It's
guys, I have to go. I want to thank you for having me on, and good luck going forward with the program.
Well,
thank you.
Deb, nice to hear you.
And honored again by your presence and your great activism, and I hope to see you in Western Mass later in the year.
Great. Bye-bye, guys.
Okay. So,
bye, Deb.
Bye, guys. So let's switch now a bit. We have Diane Turco on with us, as well as Sheila Parks from Massachusetts. We're very concerned now. There's a list of older reactors that's been circulating that are due or likely to be shut down. Prima on the list, one of the major reactors on the list, is the Pilgrim reactor at Plymouth, very close to Plymouth Rock. I have stood on Plymouth Rock and had ceremonies there with Native Americans and been to as close to the Pilgrim plant as I want to get. So, Diane Turco, you live down near the Pilgrim reactor. What can you tell us about the progress of the movement to shut it down?
Well, you know, Pilgrim is on the list of one of those aging reactors that has experiencing economic instability. And, you know, we see renewable solar and wind are clearly outpacing nuclear now. And, you know, in Mark Cooper's study from the Vermont Law School on the risks specifically involved in current operating reactors. Pilgrim has 9 of the 12 risk factors attached to it, and one of them is safety issues, one of the issues that we've been very, very concerned about. So Pilgrim is on the list. I mean, Entergy is a failing corporation right here in Plymouth, Massachusetts. They've laid off workers. They are not completing corrective action plans. Actually, recently in January, Entergy failed a nuclear regulatory inspection after a year of nuclear regulatory oversight. So they're failing the inspections, even with oversight, because they're not pouring any capital into a failing investment. And that's a double whammy for us, because not only is Entergy failing economically, but the safety issues at this reactor are so serious, and Entergy is failing to follow up with what they need to do.
Diane,
let me add something to that, too, Javi. Carol Wallman, who's an MD from California, quote, "Radioactivity, which directly affects DNA, poses the single greatest threat to life on planet Earth."
Well, there you go.
That's all that Diane is talking about, with the leaks and all that stuff.
Right. Yes. So Pilgrim now is owned by this company, Entergy. Entergy owns Vermont Yankee, which is thankfully shut. The two reactors that are still operating at Indian Point, another reactor, Ginna, I think, in New York State. Is that correct?
Indian Point.
Yes. So you are dealing with...
I don't think Dine, but I think Indian Point and Fitzpatrick.
Oh, they do. Oh, Fitzpatrick, you know, that's right.
Right.
I think Dine
is
still by the utility.
Pilgrim is one of the five worst operating reactors in the country, according to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And Entergy owns two others in that category, Arkansas 1 and Arkansas 2. So Entergy Corporation is operating 3 out of 5 worst reactors in the country right now.
Well, that kind of sounds like the Red Sox this year. So, Diane, what steps are we going to take now to shut the Pilgrim reactor? And you know, now that it's on this list of worst reactors, it seems to be pretty high up in terms of vulnerability. What are we going to do now to shut Pilgrim?
Well, that's, you know, we've been working on the safety issue because Pilgrim is an imminent danger to us all here. And it's only 38 miles south of Boston. So we've been working on the safety issues, and there's legislation at the State House that's calling to expand the emergency planning zone. Actually, Representative Sarah Peek has a bill. It's House 2167. And it calls to include Barnstable County in the plume exposure emergency planning zone because though we are outside the 10-mile EPZ, we are all, everyone on the Cape has potassium iodide. And we're being told by the state that if there is an accident at Pilgrim, that we will not evacuate. There's two bridges. I don't know if you know the Cape well, but there's only two bridges to leave. And hundreds of thousands of people would be captured here and exposed to radioactive plume. So there is this bill in the State House, but it also has a caveat that if during the planning that the governor determines that the public safety cannot be assured, that he will call on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to uphold their mandate for public safety and revoke the operating license and begin decommissioning.
I'm sorry, Diane. I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you were done.
Sorry, don't worry. Are you saying
Diane and I were among quite a number of people who testified in front of the Joint Committee of Health and Safety, I think was the name, a week or two ago. And there were the room was filled with all kinds of different groups testifying about carcinogenic things in children's cribs, carcinogenic things in kids' toys, the tanning salons, etc. I mean, I could have just I did weep through the whole afternoon. So anyhow, so they had people from the melanoma cancer people talking about what the tanning salons do. They weren't even asking the Joint Committee to shut them down, as has been done in other countries. They've all just been shut down. They were asking them not to have them be accessible to kids under 18. There were survivors there crying. There was a father talking about his son who had died crying. There were the cancer experts crying on the side of not letting the kids into them. And when we went afterwards to kind of have a chill out, you know, no new people. And I said, God, how could they not pass all these bills immediately? Someone else in our group said, the tanning salons have been in front of that Joint Committee for 10 years. So much for the legislature.
So in terms of the Pilgrim, are you saying that there's no evacuation plan?
Oh, in the 10-mile emergency planning zone, there is an evacuation plan, but we filed with Pilgrim Watch, Mary Lambert with Pilgrim Watch, we filed a 2.206 petition to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission because this past January, there was a scram at Pilgrim, and a problem with the switchyard that had been identified in 2013 that they never repaired, but there was a scram, and it was during a blizzard, and our Governor Baker had called for a ban on travel. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said that they were told by state and local officials that they would be able to evacuate people during this blizzard, when in fact we found out that one of the town's emergency directors said that was not true. So somebody's lying here. So this petition is calling into account that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission allowed Entergy to continue to operate during a historic blizzard, knowing that there could be no evacuation.
Diane, tell me about the lies about Kurt Schwartz.
Well, hold on. We had an incident like that during Hurricane Andrew also, I believe it was 1991, where the eye of the hurricane actually went over the Turkey Point reactors.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked the NRC, in fact, we confronted the NRC, demanding to know, and the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, how can you allow a nuclear plant to continue to operate in a place where the hurricane goes right over it, and how are you going to evacuate? And, of course, they had no answer.
So this is not an isolated incident at Pilgrim. And I'm sure there are other natural disasters that have occurred, major storms and so on, where the nuclear reactors have been allowed to continue to operate. Now, they did shut.
Right. We recently had a tornado. I mean, just because of the severe weather, we had recently a tornado warning in Plymouth County, and I contacted the NRC, even shut down, told them, no, the design basis will handle a tornado. You've got to be kidding me that Spent Fuel Pool has a tin roof on top.
Right.
You know, but the NRC is not a watchdog for public safety, but a lapdog for the industry. And it is not following its mandate to provide for public safety at all, as we all know.
Right.
Harvey, can I bring in the topic of food here for a minute, and also related to the TPP fast track? You know, I wrote a paper about
Sheila, hold on a second.
Okay.
I want to finish with the Pilgrim.
Okay.
One of the issues at Diablo Canyon is the once-through cooling system.
Yes.
Now, my understanding is there are no cooling towers at Pilgrim. Is that the case?
That is absolutely true, and the EPA permit is 19 years overdue. They're totally ignoring. They're shooting 510 million gallons of heated water back into the bay. Actually, this past Sunday, Entergy had to shut down the reactor because the bay temperature rose up to 75 degrees, and that's in their license that they need to shut down. Of course, they're going to apply for amendment to increase the temperature that they can operate.
Yes,
but they had to shut down because the bay was too warm. But, you know, what a contradiction. They're shooting effluent into the bay at 30 degrees higher than it's taken in. So it's really it's a precarious situation. The bay water is becoming too warm to cool the reactor.
Diane, is that part of the license challenge, the question of the cooling system?
No. I'm not sure. Well, this has been an issue. Cape Cod Baywatch has been very involved with the permit. They've gone to EPA. They've gone to the department in the state of Massachusetts, too. And they're just hitting a lot of roadblocks.
Well, I will tell you that in California at Diablo Canyon, there's a pretty substantial legal and grassroots campaign because the two reactors at Diablo Canyon are in violation of the Federal Clean Water Act and of California water quality standards. And the commission, one of the a member of one of the California commissions referred to Diablo Canyon as the Pacific Ocean's largest marine predator because it kills so many small fish. And I'm wondering if that's become an issue at all in Massachusetts, if there are water quality standards that are being violated at Pilgrim that might impact the state's permits for the plant to continue to operate.
Right, and the groups have been focusing on that area. It's just unconscionable that the environment is being damaged. Cape Cod Baywatch has a poster. Cape Cod Bay is not Entergy. Cape Cod Bay is not your dump. So that is something that we are working on, but maybe they can also connect with those folks at Diablo Canyon to kind of share what actions they're doing.
Well, that would be very good. The group that's working at Diablo Canyon is their principal executive director is Rochelle Becker, and it's called the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. They use the number 4. So it's A4NR.org.
Okay.
And you might want to look. Also, last week we had on the show a long discussion with John Geesman, G-E-E-S-M-A-N, who is the attorney for A4NR, who's been pursuing the Coastal Commission and the Water Quality Board in California. Now, if there are parallel boards in the state of Massachusetts, you may want to look into this once-through cooling issue. The fact is that at Oyster Creek in New Jersey, they have been in violation of water quality standards, and they cut a deal with the state, where the state agreed to not require them to build cooling towers in exchange for their agreement to shut down. I don't know how many years are left. The original agreement was 7 years. I don't know how long is left on that. But, of course, as we saw at Vermont Yankee, Entergy's just went ahead. They made all sorts of deals, and then they broke every one of them. So,
right. But you know, of course, that Obama just raised the permissible amount of radiation in our drinking water.
Yeah,
right?
That's a problem, too.
Yeah. So we look at in Vermont, and we see that Entergy is not a company to be trusted at all.
So what are the principal methods now being looked at to shut Pilgrim?
Well, again, public safety has been, we understand that public safety is an issue that is in the purview of the federal government, but it's also, we've also raised this issue because people understand when their community and their families are put at risk for the corporate profit. You know, people understand that we are expendable to that profit, according to the state and the federal government. So people are organizing around public safety. But we also understand that it's an economic issue. So for economic issues, our state Senator Wolf has introduced legislation to put a fee on the spent fuel to get it out of the pool, because as every other reactor, Pilgrim has, you know, was designed for 880 assemblies. It has over 3,200 in a densely packed and tightly racked spent fuel pool. And Dr. Gordon Thompson has already determined through a report completed for the Attorney General's office in 2006 that a fire at the spent fuel pool would never be able to put out. It would cause hundreds of miles of damage downwind, 24,000 latent cancers, and $488 billion in damages. So that's an imminent threat right now on the shores of Cape Cod Bay. So this bill that Senator Wolf has introduced would require that the spent fuel moved out of the pool into dry casks, or it will, there will be a fee on what is in the spent fuel pool. So that should reduce the number in the pools. And then also there's a bill to, again, to probably with every other reactor, the decommissioning funds, to have Entergy pay into a fund to cover decommissioning.
Now, you may be aware, I have had Donna Gilmore on the show at San Onofre, which has just recently been shut, thank God. They are fighting tooth and nail over the quality of the casks into which the spent chlorons are being put. And essentially, Southern California Edison is proposing to use tin cans. And we've already had cracking and incorrect loading of spent fuel dry casks at Diablo Canyon. And I'm sure you're aware that in Germany they're using casks that are 20 inches thick, and they're proposing to use them, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 3 inches at San Onofre. So the quality of the casks, of course, also enters into this. Are you seeing any indication from Entergy that they might want to shut the Pilgrim reactors, that economically they're having problems with them?
Well, they've laid off workers in the past 2 years, and they've also not completed corrective action. Implemented the corrective action plan that would cost money for repairs. And we see that they're not investing capital into Pilgrim. You have to be thinking that they're not going to do that because they're going to be shutting down.
Wow.
That's what we're hoping. The signs are looking that way. And now with the EPA Clean Power Plan that provides no aid for nuclear reactors at risk for closing, that's another nail in the coffin.
So we talked about that. I have not yet had a discussion of that on this show. Diane or Sheila, do you want to give us the detail of what happened with this Clean Power Plan? It's really been a big blow to the nuclear power industry. The EPA Clean Power Plan has dropped nuclear power from the list of technologies that are to be considered as part of the global warming fight. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Who did you say dropped it, Javi?
The Clean Power Plan that has come from the Obama administration.
Javi, yes. Oh, yeah, they did drop it. You know, I don't know. I just feel that all of the political candidates are not very good, to put it mildly. Priscilla Starr suggested that we get some committees going to talk to Jill Stein, I guess. But, you know, Jill is an easy take. She's already against nuclear power. I'm going to convene a committee to talk to Bernie Sanders to get him to talk out loud about the nuclear power plans and to, you know, talk about what Obama has done and how evil and immoral it is. Those are the words that I'm using around all of this stuff. And so these committees are forming. Somebody will talk to, people will talk to Hillary and to, et cetera. So where was I reading the other day? I think maybe it's something from you, Harvey. Way, way back years ago, you were talking about the Kong, the coal, oil, nuclear gas. I know I was reading in your Solartopia book, I think. And I didn't know that people have been talking about it that fast. I mean, Harvey, you know that one of the things you're going to talk about here, if there is Friday night, is what, why the nuclear power crisis is as dangerous as the climate crisis. And all of these people who are talking only no fossil fuels, no fossil fuels, I have, you know, you and I have talked about a lot, that a lot, where that's coming from. But what is your take on it? You want to share that now?
Sure.
I mean, Obama, you know, Obama got a lot of money from Exelon. He got a lot of money to get elected. He probably is still getting money from them.
Well, it is shocking,
you know,
to me.
People like us have to keep on saying it's not clean, it's not green, it's not safe, and it's not renewable. And it's immoral and dirty and dangerous.
Right. One thing we need to know, I was told, I'm in California right now, and Bernie Sanders spoke to a group in Southern California. 28,000 people showed up to hear him.
I know. It's all over the internet.
And it's,
but he needs to talk about some things. I mean, you know, the Black Lives Matter are after him. Now some of the anti-nuclear
Hold on. This speech he gave last night here in Los Angeles was introduced by one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, and she gave him a strong endorsement. So I think Bernie is smart enough to pick up on that issue. I hope he starts talking about nukes. People did complain to me that he didn't say anything about nuclear power. So we do need to get to Bernie Sanders to tell him to start talking about
it. We are
going
to work very hard as soon as this event is over through Friday. That's what I'm starting on.
Diane, were you going to say something?
No, I agree. That needs to be up in the forefront of the campaign. This needs to be discussion. It's the most... We see Pilgrim as the most serious threat in the state of Massachusetts. We've been warned and warned. There's been so many problems. People need to be talking about nuclear power and the dangers, and renewables are in. Renewables are here. We need to move on.
Elon Musk changed everything with his batteries. Solar and wind are everywhere. There are articles that Michael Marriott puts out from Newsweek, and I'm sure you both are all reading them as I'm reading them. And I know in Ohio, Harvey, because you're the one that wrote about it, that whatever his name is, that governor there who's running for president, has put taxes on so you can only have so much nuclear power. I mean, nobody knows about this because the corporate media doesn't write about it. I'm trying to say it on the radio, hoping that, you know, not only the choir is listening.
Yeah, well, I will say, by the way, that all this amusement about Donald Trump, where I think he's having the time of his life, nobody covered, not a single candidate except for Bernie Sanders could attract 28,000 people to a basketball arena, for God's sakes. And, of course, there's no coverage of it whatsoever in the local mainstream media, corporate media, about Bernie's play. So we're running out of time here.
Without saying, and even if Bernie runs, which I hope he does, and wins, which I think he will, then we have the rigged elections via the electronic voting machines. Needed to get it in, Harvey. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if people don't deal with the electronic voting machines, it doesn't matter who's running. As Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter who casts the votes, it matters who counts them. So our votes for shutting Pilgrim, what's the clearest path now to shutting it down? I know, Diane, there are federal interventions going on. Do the state of Massachusetts, any laws coming through that are going to impact that might parallel some of the other fights around the country?
Right, exactly. And I think the Clean Water Act and the permits are a huge issue that need to be addressed. Again, two people have started working on them, and they are going forward. I think there'll be some discussions perhaps with, I think they're going to be approaching Attorney General Maura Healey. So that's a huge issue because it really overlaps.
Okay, and let's hope that that the Entergy finds that sooner rather than later it's not in their interest to run this plant. You wanted to jump in earlier and discuss something. We're running out of time, so I wanted to make sure we got you to say what you wanted to say about the
TPP. I want to say this, that we invited for your talk on Friday night as many as the reps and senators and Maura Healey and all of these people that we could, although I couldn't find a phone number, Diane, an email from Martha Coakley. And my rep, my federal rep, is coming, Representative Clark. She is coming. Catherine Clark is actually a representative from her office is going to be here Friday night, Harvey. So good for her. Good. The only one so far that has responded, yes.
Well, let's keep up the fight. You know, it doesn't take that many people, dedicated activists, to make a huge difference. And I was born in Boston, so I have a personal stake here. I still have relatives there in shutting the Pilgrim reactor, but we're really looking to shut all reactors as soon as we possibly can. I did walk. I did want to note with a beautiful Reverend Sawato, a Buddhist monk. Sawada Shonin, we walked from downtown San Luis Obispo 9 miles, although I actually rode a bike until it got a flat tire, out to the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant where so many of us were arrested back in the 1980s. And we do want to celebrate all the reactors that we've shut all over the country. We had a very impressive list from Deb Katz at the top of the show. And we also want to mourn the fact that he's got to be called a dictator now in Japan. Shinzo Abe has forced the restart of the Sendai reactor. And I want to point out, I read an article, I've seen it before, that restarted reactors are very, very dangerous, especially if they've been shut down a number of years. And so we got to be very holding our breath, literally and figuratively, about the restart of the Sendai reactor. Diane Trico, is there anything left? We're about out of time. Anything you want to tell our listeners before we scoot out to Solartopia after another hour of talk?
You're going to give me that time,
Abby,
right?
Just keep working together to shut down all these reactors. Absolutely. You know, it's the people
Very good.
Going to do it. Thank you.
Thank you,
okay,
Diane.
Okay, I agree totally with what Diane just said, of course. And the TPP Fast Track will take away from everybody in this country the knowledge of the country of origin of our food. And that means you could be eating food that came from Japan, which is totally radiated. The whole country is radiated. You can hear Helen Calzacott say that. I have a video her saying that. So we have got to fight against the TPP Fast Track. Kimberly Robinson has this great organization, Fukushima Fallout Network, that works steadily on the food. I'm a foodie for 40 years working against the food. Don't ever eat miso again. It has I can't think of the word anyhow, in it that koji, that a fungus in it called koji that comes from Japan, no matter where it says it comes from. And that's all going to be dissolved. We're not going to know anything about where our food comes from if that TPP Fast Track really goes through. And we are what we eat.
Okay, thank you so much, Diane Turco. Deb Katz was with us earlier. Diane Turco from the groups of Fighting Pilgrim. Sheila Parks from Boston. And I want to point out that I've asked
Senator Earth.
I'm sorry?
From on behalf of Planet Earth.
Okay, very good. Diane, are you still with us? What's your URL? What people can reach you? Your website. Oh, I think Diane left us. Okay,
and
I want to point out one more thing before we go that the TPP does not seem to be a done deal. They are still fighting over it, and we can still oppose it. Thank you to the crew in New York for another stellar job. Thank you so much, Sheila Parks, Diane Turco, and Deb Katz, and we will be back with another Solartopia show next week. See you in Solartopia.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia.